Nobody can make that statement for you but you. Nobody can take that stand for you but you. Nobody can claim your house but you. You're the only one that can see. As for me and my house. Praise God. Verse 81, would you say, my soul fainteth for thy salvation. My knees are wobbly. I'm feeling a little bit weak, but I have hope in thy word. Say it with fervor, though. I have hope in thy word. Praise God. I'm a little bit weak. I've taken some licks. I've had some resistance, but I've got hope. I've got hope. I'm not deterred. I'm a little bit weary in my body, but I'm not looking to turn back. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Say, my eyes fail for thy word. Saying, when wilt thou comfort me? I'm getting so tired, it's hard to keep my eyes open. I'm looking for some. When are you going to come see about me, Jesus? Verse 83, I'm become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When will you execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongly. Come see about me, Jesus. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not their precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, and so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Clap your hands. Lift up your voice. If you've already made up your mind, go ahead and make a shout, a declaration. Go ahead and open your mouth and let it be known. You got to be bold. You got to go ahead and say it. Praise God. Praise God. Tell somebody by you, I'm living for God in a hostile environment. But I'm living for God. Praise God. Our emphasis is not on the hostile environment. We don't spend all our days singing about how bad it is, how tough it is, how hard it is. What we want to sing about is, I'm ready, bring it on. I'm ready, come on. And after a hard day fighting the devil, is that all you have? Is that all you have? Is that your best shot? I want you to know God has given us power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Give somebody a high five and tell them, I've got what it takes. I've got that Holy Ghost. Now, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have what it takes. You got to get the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Turn to somebody, push them a little bit, and say, I got the blood of Jesus on my life. Praise God. Praise God. We've got the power of God in our lives. You need to walk in it. You need to understand the world is not your home. You're an alien and a stranger here. You have taken citizenship in another world. And now this world will never feel, if this world gets to feeling like home, you got to pray through again. Quick. If this world starts to looking good to you, you've got to pray through again. Quick. Praise God. Verse 81 and 82. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. My eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? My soul feels faint. Anybody living for God knows that it takes Holy Ghost to live in this world. The parable, the teaching about the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish, is a very clear indication that it takes Holy Ghost. The implication there, the symbolism is the oil is the Holy Ghost. And 5 run out. They all are depleted in their oil, but some of them go out and they find some more. I've got to get some more. I've got to get the Holy Ghost, and I've got to get the Holy Ghost again. We find them filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. We find them filled again with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 4. Well, praise God. Paul said, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but stay filled up with the Holy Ghost. My God, I need to talk in tongues every day, every day, every day. Every time I come to church, I need to shout. Every time I'm in a prayer closet, I need to talk in tongues all over again. Well, praise God. takes Holy Ghost to live. It's like one of those little games where I don't know how to play them, but I watch kids play them. And when they jump up and grab something or run into the right things, not the wrong things, but the right things, you run into the wrong things, you go and fall off the cliff and lose all your energy and die. But there's some things they can do to get more energy. And then when they run into the bad guys or they run into trouble, their energy level's going down. And when it gets really low, it's your energy's about gone, buddy. You're about to die. Well, my God, you don't want to get worse. You don't want to be driving on empty. Do you realize it doesn't cost any more money to drive on full as it does to drive on empty? It doesn't cost any more. You just got to get one tank ahead of where you are right now and stay full. Praise God. Now, I don't want you running out of gas in a bad part of town. I don't want you running out of gas when it's 25 below zero and you're going to have to walk to the next gas station. But I sure don't want you running out of Holy Ghost in a day where the Lord is about to do wonderful things. My God, don't run on empty. You need to stay full. Don't run on empty. You need to get full. You need to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God. The old timers would say, you need to pray through. You start showing that attitude. You need to pray through. You start getting in a snit around the house, friend. You need to pray through. You start barking and biting at people that you're supposed to love. You need to pray through. You're running low on Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost makes you sweet. Praise God. And don't look at anybody around you and say, that's right, you need the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost makes folks sweet. Praise God. He said, I'm about to faint for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. I've got an objective. I've got a vision. I've heard from God, and I may get a little bit weary in my body. I may get a little bit tired in the journey, but I'm not gonna stop. I'm not gonna slow down. I'm gonna put one foot in front of the other. I'm gonna make my way. I'll tell you if I wasn't behind this pulpit, I can tell you this, because this is the way I did it before I was a preacher. When the doors were open, I'm in the house of God. When the doors are open, I'm in the house of God. I've come in the back of the house and sat on the back row with a hard hat ring around my head and clothes full of holes from a fab shop, smelling like a mule, a bad mule. But I didn't care. Wanted to be in the house of God. And I thought it was kind of neat to slide up in there dirty and raunchy. Filthy in my body, but clean in my soul. Well, praise God. Because if I went home and I ate supper and I took a bath, I would never come back to the house. It'd already be over with. You say, well, you're just pressuring us. No, I'm just telling you. You need all the Holy Ghost you can get. I'm not going to pass by the house of God when I'm hungry down to my... I may be a little tired in my body, but my God, I'd rather be sleep deprived in my body than empty of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, it's that kind of day. You got to make up your mind. I'm about to faint in my body, but I've got hope. My eyes fail for thy word. God, I'm getting so tired. It's so rough out here. My eyes are about to close. Are you going to come and comfort me? God, I'm in this house tonight saying, come and see about me. I know where my answer is. Come and see about me. I know where my strength lies. I'm not looking anywhere else. I'm not looking for any other answer. I know my answer is in God. God's what I need for my family. God's what I need for my household. God's what I need for my mind and for my spirit. I need more of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Is that how you feel tonight? Verse 83. Everybody say, I'm like a bottle in the smoke. But I don't forget your statutes. Praise God. This world is like a putrid, acrid, hostile environment. It's like being a bottle in the smoke. And if you want to work with the time frame that this was written in, their bottles were wineskins. And they would hang their wineskins on the campfire and the posts that held up the campfire. And that campfire was filled up with smoke. And if it was in their little dwellings or in their tents, they had a fire burning all the time. And that wineskin was there. But you know, that wineskin is such that the wine is never touched by the smoke. You pop the top on that thing and you get the sweet wine, and it can hang over that smoky place for days and for weeks and for months, but it's got a good, secure place where it's been housed. And now it's not it. Now that leather that it's made of, it's going to get marred up and scarred up and a little bit wrinkled up. And as we're walking through this life, we understand this, and especially those of us that are over 50, we understand this exactly. My old wine bottle here is getting marred up and scarred up, and it's getting a little bit, you can tell it's been through the wars, but I'll tell you this, the wine is just as sweet as it ever was the first day I received it. Well, praise God. I'm like a bottle in the smoke. It's all around me, but it can't get inside me. That worldly influence is all over me, but it can't get down inside me. I go to work with it, but I'm a child of God on the job. I go to school with it, but I'm a child of God at school. I can sit down among them, but what I've got, they can't touch. God's given me something that'll keep me. Well, praise God. I'm like a bottle in the smoke. And I trust, and I don't forget God's statutes. Praise God. Any of you kids that are going to public school, you ever feel like that? You ever feel like, I am just surrounded by this? It's a spirit. It's in the air. It's all over the place. It's in the buzz. It's in the conversation. It's in their attitudes. It's all over the place. If you're not careful, if you don't keep the cork in, you don't keep yourself filled up with the Holy Ghost and preserved in the things of God, it'll leach into your system. But I'm not open to the things of the world. I am open to the things of God. Well, praise the Lord. God sent you in that school to be an influence. God sent you on that job to be a change agent. God sent you among those people to tell them to be salt in their midst, not to be like them. Praise God. Verse 84 through 87. He says, how long am I going to go through this, God? How long are the days of your servant? God, can we just wrap this up and go home? And when will you execute judgment on God? When are you going to come down and just fall on them like a ton of bricks? The proud have digged pits for me, God. Look at this. And that's not after your law. Look at that, God. They're transgressing your word. You see what they're doing, God? He's lifting up the charges before God. And all thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me, God. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Everybody say, I live in a hostile world. They don't love God. Praise God. I want you to know, though, you're not all by yourself. 1 Peter chapter 4, Dustin. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. And everyone say, beloved. Turn to somebody, point your finger at them. Beloved. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Tell them, you're not the first. You won't be the last. You're not all by yourself, Bubba. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Jesus told them, he said, listen, they persecuted me. They persecuted the prophets before us. Don't feel like the lone stranger. It is the nature of this world to hate the things of God. But you've got to understand, you've got a calling and you've got a promise. You need to rise up in the strength of that. Chapter 5 and verse 8. Would you say to your neighbor, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Tell him he wants to eat you up. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Don't you know tonight that you're not the only one going through this? The devil wants to get you off by yourself and say you're the only one. Oh, poor baby, you're the only one. Nobody knows what you're going through. Nobody suffers like you suffer. They all got everything they need. But here you are struggling. You're trying to live for God, and God's forgotten all about you. He's lying out of his devilish mouth to you. Praise God. I want you to know there's people all over the world that are walking right through the same thing that you are walking through, and they're living for God, and they're living faithfully, and they're full of the Holy Ghost, and they're not turning back. You understand that? I'm not the only one. And if what's the lesson? What's the lesson? The lesson. Lesson is, if they can do it, I can do it. My God, if he can live for God, I can live for God. If he's been through that, Hebrews chapter 12, it said, listen, brothers, we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Praise God. Give us Hebrews 12 and 1. Praise God. Everybody say, we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. What's the witness? The witness is they've already done this. Don't you know there's people that have already lived through their teenage years, and now they're young ladies and mothers and grandmothers in the house of God, and they're living for God, and somebody's told you you can't do it. It's too hard today, but you've got to know that somebody's already passed through where you're walking right now, and they're already living for God, and some of them are already on the other side. Praise God. Young men who stood through high school and into young adulthood and did not have to go out into the world to taste the world and then come back. Let's hear it again. You don't have to backslide. It's not written that you have to backslide. I've come to tell you, you can live for God in every season. Praise God. He said, let's lay aside the weight and the sin and run with patience, looking unto Jesus. Go ahead, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Praise God. He's already invested in you. You're not dealing with a God that's insulated from your pain. He's already paid a price for your soul. My God, if there's nothing else, when you get up in the morning, Jesus died for me. I can live for him. God came out of heaven and laid down his life for me. I can lay down my life for him. I can do this. I can live for God. Shake your neighbor and say, we can do this. We can live for God. Anybody got a determination in your heart? You've got a made-up mind. Is there anybody in the house that's already got a made-up mind? Praise God. I know they're coming after me, God. I know I'm living in a hostile world. But in verse 87, I'm not about to forsake your precepts. Praise God. Verse 88, quicken me. That means give me life after your loving kindness. And so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Praise God. Praise God. Hit me again, God. Give me another shot of that, God. Give me that Holy Ghost all over again, God. Praise God. Some folks don't understand what we were doing here tonight. We spent about 30 or 40 minutes just kind of hanging out in the presence of God. Now, I don't know about you, but those are the sweetest moments in my memory bank of church. I love the worship. I love the music. I love everything. But I love those moments before and after church, and maybe even sometimes when you're gone and the afterglow is just hanging in the atmosphere here. And it's just hanging out, communing with the presence of God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Lift up your hands and just in your own words, just tell him, hit me again, God. The psalmist said, quicken thou me, O Lord. And that's not quite what you say. So give me life, O God. Give me what I need to do this. Give me what I need to walk in power in your spirit. Praise God. Hit me again. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Josh, you just got the Holy Ghost, huh? You just got the Holy Ghost. Talk 10 tongues. You know you can do that every day? I highly recommend do that every day. Do it in the morning. And when you stop to bow your head to pray over your lunch at school, talk in tongues again. And when you get ready to go to bed at night, talk in tongues again. And just say, hit me again, Lord. Hit me again. Give me another shot of that, God. Praise God. Praise God. These are not drunken as you suppose, but this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. Praise God. They've called it Joel's bar. We need to belly up to the bar again and say, hit me again, God. Give me another shot of that, God. I want some more of that Holy Ghost. You know, I can't get enough of this. I can't get enough of this. I'm living in a hostile world. I want to be flowing over. Brother Jeff, come here and tell them what happened to you in the altar with the kid that you helped to pray through.
Renee had talked about a guy named Chris, and some people call him Sharpie. I don't know where that comes from, but when the guy shows up, you know, and he's got... Yeah, he's been coming to back to school rally and youth explosion, I guess, for 2 years, and I know he was there last year. But he's sitting there, you know, and he's got chains wrapped up with locks on him, you know, and he's very, very spiritual. It's just not, you know, it's, I guess, what you'd call black spiritual. And they started praying for him, you know, and I was up front, and I felt, you know, the prayers, and they were getting pretty serious, and so I turned around, and they're praying for him, and it was like he stood up, and something would pull him back down, and he would stand up. He did like 3 or 4 times, you know, and it was like somebody was throwing him back into his seat, you know, and one time he would raise one hand and get both thrown up, one would come down, and he wasn't just putting them down. It was like it was, you know, coming down. And at that point, I realized what we were dealing with here, you know, and we was fixing to engage in spiritual warfare. And so I started easing back, easing towards him, you know, and God told me I need to pray for him. So at that point, I started to go to him, and then he said, wait. So I was standing right there in front of him, and they were still all praying for him. Brother Maddox was praying for him, and he had his hands beside his head, and I heard him one time. I don't know what all he was saying, but I heard him just scream, just, no! And so I was like, you know, I was getting nervous at this point because I knew that God already told me I was going to have to pray for him. But then he said, go. So I pushed my way through, and I get around him, and I put my arm around him. And at this point, I'm going through my spiel. You know, we got to raise your hands, stand up, repent, say, you know, hallelujah or thank you, Jesus, or whatever. And as I'm saying it in my mind, I asked him, do you want the Holy Ghost? And he said, yes. And out of my mind, I'm fixing to tell him exactly, you know, how we do it normally. And I'm saying it in my mind, and out of my mouth said, well, stand up and speak in tongues. And I at that point, I don't really know what's going on. They said I was extremely rough with the boy. And I said, well, stand up and speak in tongues. I can't really say it because I don't have my voice much anymore. But it was really just like, well, then do it, you know. And so I grabbed him up, and I reached his hands up, and at that point, he really wanted the Holy Ghost, and his hands were open, and I put my hands up there to him, and they just clamped down, and it was almost like, I'm not ready to let go of him. You know, he's still mine. I still have control over him. And I was just about to lay my hands on his head. When I let go of his hands, I made sure he kept his hands open so that he could say he was wide open. He had been submitted to God. And as I was going to lay my hands on him, I looked back, and he's already speaking in tongues. I hadn't even touched him at this point. And I leaned up to make sure he was speaking in tongues. And when I laid my hands on him, I said, if you've ever hit your elbow real hard, like on the funny bone, it came from his head through my hands and out of my arm. And it was the devil leaving him. And at that point, he just started speaking in tongues. He probably spoke in tongues for about 2 minutes. You know, and I'd never experienced anything like that. But it was just amazing, you know. And I didn't even do what God did. You just took control of the whole situation. And I had complete dominion over that spirit, and I loosed him, and I bound him into the spirit of hell, and I don't think that boy's going to have any problems anymore.
Praise God. Praise God. Now, you can't do that by yourself. The sons of Sceva came up to the man possessed, and they said, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, come out. But he didn't come out. He came on and he beat the daylights out of them. And they left naked and wounded and bleeding, the Bible said. Praise God. You got to have the Holy Ghost to speak to you, to lead you, to direct you, to empower you. But if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you've got power over every devil in this city. You've got power over every demonic force. Let's stand. You've got power over anything you're going to encounter. You got power for Monday to walk through the day. You got power for Tuesday to do the work of God. You got power for Wednesday to be a light and to be a witness. You've got, somebody shake your neighbor and say, I got power. Holy Ghost power. I've got power. I feel it in my hands. Who was telling me today that you were walking in here or in camp and you felt the power of God in your hands like Brother Smith was talking about? Somebody was telling me that just today. Brother Smith said, I can tell when there's angels in the house. I can feel it in my hands. I get this tingling sensation in my hands. My God, I love that Holy Ghost stuff. I love all this weird, strange, spiritual Holy Ghost stuff. My God, let me tell you now, we don't want to just have a cardboard cutout of a church. We don't want to just have a form and a fashion, but we want the true moving of the Spirit of the living God. Hit me again. Hit us again, God. Hit us one more time, God. Hit this church. Hit the musicians. Hit the young people. Hit the praise group. Hit the sound men. Hit the Barnabas ministry. Mighty God, hit us in the altar. Let's stand together. If you're in the house and you'd like to receive the Holy Ghost, come on right now. If you're in the house and you'd like to be baptized, come on right now. We're ready for you. We got water. God's got enough spirit. You can have anything you want. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Let's all come down around the altar tonight. I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul. Tell somebody, just like the Bible said. Tell them, I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul. Just like the Bible said. Tell them, well, I've been to the water and I've been baptized. My soul got happy and I'm satisfied. Shake somebody's hand. Tell them, I wouldn't take nothing for this journey now. It's just like the Bible said. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Just join in and sing this. I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul. Sing. Just like the... down in my soul. Yeah, just like the Bible said, I've been, hey, my soul. Oh, I wouldn't take nothing. Oh, just like the Bible. Oh, just like the Bible said. Shake somebody, tell them. Holy Ghost down in my soul, just like the Bible said. Take somebody by the hand and dance with them a little bit. Just dance, do a Holy Ghost. Just like come on, do a do-si-do with somebody. Holy Ghost down in my soul, just like the Bible said. I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul, contain nothing. Oh, it's just like, it's just like.